praise you, Lord. The Lord is saying, I've shown you great and mighty things. I've shown you things to come. And some of those things you've looked at and thought, well, they're just, that's too big. That's too big. And God, he is saying, keep looking. Keep looking. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. You're not going to do it in your strength. You're not going to do it in your ability. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to show you what to do next. You just keep taking it step by step by step, and I will show you how to get from here to there. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. Just acknowledge me and let me direct that path. Just acknowledge me with it. I see how big it is, but I'm a big God. And I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. So this thing is nothing for me. Just ask. Ask. Begin to pray that the eyes of your own understanding be enlightened, that you can know that exceeding great power that works toward you as a believer. I can do it. You can do it through my strength in you. Don't turn away. Don't go back. Don't draw back. It's not too big. Keep going forward, and I will bring it to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of your precious Holy Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, special faith, working of miracles, for the edifying of the body. We thank you, Father, for just the edification of that word. We just thank you, Father, for whereunto it is sent. It's going to accomplish that thing. Receive that this morning. Receive that. If that's you, if that fits something God is doing in your heart, doing in your mind, keep walking forward. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Praise God. You serve a big God. Don't be intimidated by the devil. He that's in you is so much greater than he that's in the world. It's not even close. You keep going forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I love something the Apostle Paul said when he was getting the gospel taken throughout the whole world at his time. He just said, you know, afflictions and persecutions, I know they're awaiting me. He said, but none of these things move me. Praise God. And that's where I think the Lord is getting you to, where you're not afraid of what's going to happen, but where God does a work on the inside of you to where those things just don't move you anymore. And you just keep going forward. Not because of what's scary or how big something is, they just don't move you anymore. Because you know that his grace truly is sufficient for whatever it is. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to start with a passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. This is a pretty popular passage of Scripture. I think it was the Birds who did their famous song, to every season, turn, turn, right out of this passage of Scripture here. And so that's kind of what makes me think of that, but I'm especially struck as I see that verse 6 where it says, a time to keep and a time to throw away. If you've moved at all, you understand the revelation of that verse. We had about two dumpsters full of things we threw away a couple months ago. But the profound, you know, obvious statement of this passage is that there are seasons. There's things that are coming and going. And we did a message actually a few weeks back regarding the seasons of life and navigating the seasons of life and different things like that. But within the seasons of life, you find that there is also timings that are involved in the seasons of life. And we see again in this passage of Scripture, it really brings attention and focus to those different timings. And so really this morning, the title of my message is, What Time Is It? What time is it? You know, there are, all right, looks like we're getting there. So what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of look at some different times as it relates to especially seasons of our lives and different things like that. But, you know, you think of a watch where you're looking at the time. Well, we look at that time and it gives us a natural time. All right, there we are. Look at this. That was quick. Now I'm going to try this is brand new, so I don't know. You know, we had an old one of these that only went 50 feet. This one goes 100 feet, so we'll see. Yay, it works. All right. New technology that worked the first time. All right. Woohoo. All right. Oh, yeah. I'm all over it now. Cool. All right. So we got them both up there running. All right. Good, good. We're all right. Getting a comeback here. So we're talking about what time is it? Well, the first time that we want to look at is something we call preparation times. Preparation time. When, you know, sometimes when you're dealing with stuff, going through stuff, if you know in a broader sense what time it is, in other words, you know you're in a preparation time, it can kind of help settle you down. When you know, hey, this is preparation time. This is a preparation season of life. And we can see, you know, very clearly that the Scripture talks about the fact that we do have these preparation times. Looking in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Message, so be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. In other words, there is a time that God has. Here's the cool thing, though, too, is that you see that it is God's will. I mean, if you were to just say this, it would almost sound blasphemous. Is it God's will to exalt you? Well, when you look at the Scripture, yeah. It's God's will, desire to exalt you, or you could say promote you, or increase your influence in due time. That's the caveat right there. We live in a world where we're just hungry to be exalted, to be noticed, to be famous, to be, you know. And as far as the enemy is concerned, he would love to exalt you out of due time. Exalt you in a time where you don't have the maturity to really handle that kind of exaltation or influence or promotion. But God does want to use us. He does want to, he has goals and dreams and things he wants us to walk in, but there will be a preparation time that God is working on the inside of us so that when it's due time, we're walking in that dream, and we're walking in the dream with focus and maturity and an ear to the Spirit of God that we got during that preparation time, okay? So there's going to be times where it's just preparation time. Here's a couple of scriptures I like to put together to kind of illustrate this too. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that an amazing thing? God has prepared good works ahead of time for your life, has a real plan for your life, good works that you should walk in. But we also see the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he said, In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, wood and clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now you'll notice that in verse 21 it says, Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, this isn't God cleansing him. If somebody cleanses himself from the latter, the wood, the clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master prepared for every good work. So we kind of see, on one hand, God has prepared good works for us to walk in, and then we prepare ourselves to walk in those good works. All right? And that's what the season of preparation is all about. You know, if you were going to go under the knife and a guy was about to start cutting on you, and you kind of wanted to know a little bit about his background and credentials, and you come to find out that he's never even been to medical school, but he always wanted to be a doctor, would you want him cutting on you? No. You would want him to go back to preparation time, and then you would, you know, depending on the preparation time, you'd want to know that he's prepared for that good work. It's great to have a dream of being a doctor. It's great to have a dream of whatever you have a dream of being. But that preparation time is something that's ultimately up to you by faith. It's a big part of faith is preparing. It's preparing for something you can't see with your eyes yet. It's a hope. It's out there. It's a dream. But you're beginning to put your hands to something in preparation. And God blesses that time. And it's a good thing to know when you're in preparation time. I knew I was going to go into the ministry someday. I remember very well, I guess I was, it was 89, and just about ready to move to Tulsa to go to Rhema, to go to Bible school, to get prepared for the ministry and go into the ministry and then just tear it up for the Lord. You know, that was my thought, my desire. It's a two-year Bible school. Great. The shorter, the better. You know, get me in there and get me out. And just Sunday morning in the choir, all of a sudden God just dropped in my spirit, just like we worship, you know, here on a Sunday morning. You know, we're worshiping, we're singing, but God's doing stuff in your heart. He's talking to you about your business sometimes, right, in those beautiful, sweet places, green pastures, still waters, where it's just you and him. Praise God for that. And, you know, he was just one of those times. I'm just having my worship time like everybody else, but God's speaking to my heart. And he dropped a word in my heart, and he just said, Ed, it's going to be 7 years before I begin to move you out in the work that I've called you to do. And I knew that wasn't my flesh. I knew that wasn't my ambition talking. I was in a place of surrender and worship and sweet, and I could hear that clear voice. And I remember getting that word and thinking to myself, wow, 7 years before he's going to even begin to move me out. So what was he telling me? He said, you've got a preparation season coming up. It's going to be about 7 years. So don't get all nervous about just kind of going to Bible school to see what they know and then getting out into the ministry. But go there and settle down and just learn and receive and let yourself be prepared. See, a preparation season can be a frustrating season if you see the dream and you just want to get to the dream. But to realize that preparation season is amazing. It's precious. It's God-ordained. It's the stuff that he prepares you so that you're prepared for that good work he's ordained you to walk in. So what time is it? You got to ask yourself that question sometimes as you're saying, who am I? What am I doing? Why am I here? What's my life? What's going on in my life? You might see, hey, there's a dream I want to fulfill. And maybe you're not walking in that dream, but you know what? You're in a preparation time. In other words, you're right where you need to be. And that's an important thing to remember when we're in preparation time. Here's another scripture kind of along these lines. It says, let us therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily ensnare us and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And so what is he saying here? He's saying we're laying down weights and sins. We're laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. And this is part of a lot of times that preparation time where God is going to work some things out in your life. In other words, there is going to be some things you're going to get victory over in your life as part of your preparation time that's going to equip you to help others get victory in their life. You know, there are and we don't always necessarily see it because sometimes we think, you know, okay, I got these little quirks. I got my weights and sins. Yeah, but I want to get onto the dream stuff. I want to get to do what I'm doing. You know, nobody's perfect anyway, right? And right, we're all growing, and you will never get there to where you're saying, I'm perfect. The Apostle Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. So it's not a matter of being perfect. But it is a matter of being obedient to what God is dealing with you to deal with. It is a matter of being obedient to what He's showing you. Because if there's an area in your life, it doesn't matter what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so pointing the wagging finger, you're right. You don't have to worry about their judgments and things like that. But if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you to lay aside something, you know, that's a big deal. Because you think, well, what does that have to do with this dream I've got? It has a lot to do with that dream. Because a big part of your ears to hear are connected with doing what God's called you to do. And those simple little steps of obedience, you know, laying things aside. And again, this is not people judging you. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord dealing with you to lay aside some things. You can know that in the laying aside of those things during preparation time, it's going to prepare you for that good work. What we don't see a lot of times when we hold on to weights and sins that so easily beset us, we don't realize how much they're slowing us down. Have you ever run with ankle weights and then taken them off? It's amazing the difference. And that's kind of the way it is when you kind of get used to and learn how to run on top of the weights and the sins. But when you begin to take them off and you begin to realize God's now satisfying that part in you, you're getting fueled by God and His love and His word and His spirit, and you don't need that anymore. Man, you can run faster. You can run better. What are you doing? You're getting prepared for those good works. And there's another aspect too, kind of another principled thing here. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Don't consider the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. A big part of laying aside the weights and the sins, and then another thing we don't always realize, is when we're living on top of stuff, how it affects our vision, what we're seeing. We're not seeing as clearly as we think we're seeing. When you're free from that thing, you can see clearly. And it's interesting, He doesn't even say, shame on you. Don't bother with the speck of the tree. He said, just get the plank out of your own eye. It'll prepare you. It'll equip you. Why? If your heart is right to want to get the speck out of your brother's eye, you'll have a sweet spirit. You go to a spirit of meekness. You can minister. You can be kind. You can be doing something good. But when you got that plank in your eye, it just, you know, things don't look right. What you might think is a big deal may not be that big of a deal when you've got something in your eye. Everything kind of looks blurred and big. But when you get that stuff out, it helps you see clearly. And one of the great things, too, about getting stuff out of your eye, begin to prepare, getting prepared, is you stay continually connected to an appreciation for the mercy and the grace of God in your life. When you learn to live on top of stuff, the scripture even talks about how you can even sear your conscience. You know, if you have the ability to sin, willfully violate your conscience, and it doesn't affect you, that's not evidence of being matured in grace. It's not. When your conscience is affected, that it's evidence of a seared conscience. Because your voice, the voice of the Spirit, when you do something that's wrong, that's violating your conscience, that's not right, you want to get that right and say, Father, no, sorry, that's wrong. Please forgive me. I receive your forgiveness and cleansing from that in Jesus' name. What am I doing? I'm keeping a tender conscience before God. Let me say this too. The confession of sin does not create a sin consciousness. The confession of sin relieves a sin consciousness. It's when you get it out of you. 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians. Let me be very clear about that in our heart and our position in this church. We believe the whole New Testament was written to Christians, actually. And that those instructions, as you confess things, they get out of your conscience. It's done. It's gone. I'm cleansed from a conscience. The price was paid 2,000 years ago. Price was paid for healing 2,000. A lot of things were paid 2,000 years ago. The chastisement for my peace was paid 2,000 years ago. But I just don't sit idle and enjoy those things. Faith receives the things that God's grace has provided. And when you go and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess it. It was wrong. What am I doing? I'm keeping my own conscience clear and my own heart right before God. Otherwise, you play games with your heart. And that was the whole premise of 1 John 1:9. If you walk in darkness and say you have fellowship with God, you deceive yourself. That's the most dangerous place you can be, in a place of self-deception. So don't do that. Keep your heart clear. Keep your heart cleansed. Keep it right between you and Jesus. Because you're going to learn. You're going to have ears to hear. You're going to grow. And as you're laying aside these weights and sins, you stay in a continual awareness. Oh, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It helps keep that religious, critical, self-righteous, condescending spirit off of you. When you stay in that place of, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm here today. I like to say it this way. If there's anything I'm doing right, if there's anything that I'm enjoying, any victory that I have, there's a trail of the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me till I got it. Okay? And that's really your testimony to you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That blood isn't just a one-time experience. It is a continuous, ongoing, overcoming experience and a relationship and an awareness you have with that blood that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You're still righteous in your spirit, but that sense of unrighteousness in your conscience is cleansed from those dead works. So keep that. Keep that heart, that sensitivity. And in those preparation times, what are you doing? You're just preparing your conscience. Because let me tell you this, when you get into those dream areas, when you're prepared for that good work and God launches you into what he's called you to do, and you're not honest with your conscience in the preparation area, that's going to be a dangerous place. Because you're going to have exaltation, you're going to have things that will come against you, you'll have opposition that comes against you, you're going to have pride, different things like that. And if you haven't learned how to honestly deal with and recognize things that you're yielding to, those things can take you out in an area of success. That's why God will say, I'm going to prepare you for every good work. Stay honest with me. Keep a hand in my hand. Keep it real. Amen? So that's a big part of that initial preparation time. Let me see here. I was going to just say, here's a quick example of a guy. This is John Mark now. It says, here's an example of a guy who was not properly prepared. And this is John Mark. It says, from Paphos, Paul and company put out to sea, sailing onto Perga and Pamphylia. That's where John called it quits and went back to Jerusalem. So just kind of a quick backstory for this verse. You got the first missionary journey, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. They're going for it. They're tearing it up. And right in the middle of the journey, you know, John says, I don't want to do this. Could have been scared. Could have just didn't like the comforts or lack of comfort of the trip, whatever it is, he decided to go back home in the middle of the trip. John Mark was not prepared for this work, in other words. And so when it came time for the second missionary journey, now you got to understand Barnabas and Mark were cousins, or Mark was his nephew, actually. It was Uncle Barnabas to Mark. And so Barnabas wanted his nephew, John Mark, to come back with him. And so here's when they were going to go back and do their second missionary journey. This is what happened. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So missionary journey number two, take two. Hey, let's bring Mark back. Let's do this again. And Paul's like, no, we're not going to do this again. You know, and Paul, it's not because Paul had unforgiveness. He realized that when you're going out on a trip, I mean, you talk about having your back and working together. It's not just like, well, okay, only three of us are going to jump in the car instead of, you know, two of us. No, it was donkeys and camels and stuff and tents. And it was a lot too traveling back in those days. And you needed to have people that you could depend on that are going to be there for you. Of course, they had their falling out. And Paul just said, man, this guy just isn't ready yet. He's not equipped yet for this good work. But here's the cool thing that we see. Now, this is one of the last things Paul had ever written in all of his epistles, and this came from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Now, this is probably about 8 years later, okay? And it says, only Luke is with me. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. The message, Luke is the only one here with me. Bring Mark with you. He'll be my right-hand man. Wow, what a difference. See, the Apostle Paul says, hey, John Mark, get him, bring him. We need him. He's useful for the ministry. What happened? Somewhere in those 8 years or whatever that was, John Mark was preparing and preparing and preparing. And he got to a point where he was ready for it, to where the Apostle Paul recognized it and saw that's it. Here's a good lesson. Let this be a good John Mark lesson. If you're in a preparation season and if you failed and you launched out into that dream a little quick and it came falling down, don't stop and think the dream's over. The dream was not over for John Mark. Yeah, he was a little premature. He kind of went out ahead of time, but thank God for the grace of God that stays with you. He not only went on to help the Apostle Paul, but he went on to write the Gospel of Mark. Not bad. Not bad for a guy who jumped the gun and got back up and stayed with God and went on to do what God called him to do. Yeah, we can miss it sometimes in our timing, certainly. I think we probably all have. We've all got some backstories where we've done that. But thank God for the grace of God. But realize that preparation time, it's there for us. It's never, I remember we'd hear, it's never lost time, they tell us in Bible school. Preparation time is never lost time. And we can kind of go back some other stories along those lines. Of course, Moses kind of had a take-two situation where he was going to deliver the Hebrew children with his fists and his arms and his natural ability, and he ended up having to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Then he came back in the power of the Lord and the maturity and hearing from God and really did things God's way. And so sometimes, you know, that can happen. But I'll tell you what, whatever your story is, just realize that God is sticking with you, okay? Don't ever feel like you're past the point that you have to give up on that dream. You don't. Praise God. There's always a way back. The next time, what time is it? There's harvest times. All right? In other words, you're going to look down at that clock and God's going to say, it's time to go. Yep, it is. It is. You've prepared. You've done what you needed to do. And now it is time. It is time for you to do. Julie and I would call these the go ye's, you know? We're kind of waiting on the go ye. And once we kind of get that, all right, let's do it. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Then, praise God. You know, sometimes you can it can be two extremes, and we've experienced both extremes. You can be in the preparation time. It's like, oh, come on, I want to do this. I'm ready to live out the dream. And then God calls you to do the dream, and it's like, oh, wow, but what if this happens? But what if this happens? But what if this happens? You know, the preparation time, it's kind of the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Well, the grass is kind of greener in preparation time because you're a lot of times not taking as many steps of risky things over in preparation time, right? But then when you're in preparation time, you're just kind of seeing the glory and the fruit of the dream without necessarily seeing these steps of faith that you got to take. But then there comes that time where we're just calling it, it's the harvest time. You look down at the watch and it's time to go. It's time to do what God has called you to do. And here, as we see in the Apostle Paul's story, Acts chapter 13, it said, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, man who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered, Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered, Saul who really is Paul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. All right, here we go. This is the beginning of the very first Paul's missionary journey. They didn't have this prayer time to kick off the first missionary journey. They just had this prayer time to minister unto the Lord. That's all they were doing. They were, can I say this tongue in cheek, kind of minding their own business, just serving God, doing what they knew to do, being faithful in the season that they were in. And all of a sudden, bang, Holy Spirit says, okay, now separate unto me. Well, something happened. There was a time. It is time. Go ye. He got it. He got it by the Spirit of God. And once he got it, he knew he got it, then they were faithful and they went. All right? But you're going to get that. Get that by the Spirit of God. This is something else the Apostle Paul said, which he might have said in conjunction with this event. I don't know exactly. But he said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I love that. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this. Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. Message, I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. And I'm telling you what, that's kind of when it's harvest time, when it's go time, it's like that. It's almost like there's enabled. You feel like a switch has been flipped. And you feel a confidence and a strength and an ability to do things. All of a sudden, the math and running the math, and it's like, no, I can do this. I can do this. There's a confidence that comes from God that helps you to know, I may not be perfect at this. I may make some mistakes, and I don't care that I'm going to make mistakes, but I know I've got an enablement to do something now. When I'm standing over here in preparation time, I could see what he wanted me to do. When I answer the go ye, it's like there is grace and there's an anointing to do this. You still got to walk by faith. You still got to step out and do what he's called you to do. But when it's time to start that business or do that thing, there will be favor on it now because you got the go ye. You got the witness. Let's kind of back up for just a quick second. How many things are we supposed to acknowledge with God in terms of our life? Everything. All things. No, how little or big. Ultimately, this isn't about me and my ability, my dream, and da-da-da-da-da, my. I know it's the world we live in. But with God, it's in all our ways we acknowledge him, and then he directs our paths. And then the timing is there, and then the favor is there, and the grace is there, and you're equipped to handle it. All those things line up. Natural math has a different plan. God's Spirit, when he enables you, then you say, it is time. It's time to do this. It's time to launch out into it. And you've got the go ye, and then you've got the peace. You got the grace and the ability. I remember our at Rhema, Kenneth Hagin said he was felt in his heart about teaching. And he didn't like teaching. He wanted to preach, exhort. That's what he grew up in. You know, you're just spitting cotton and just going after it and just exhorting, and all of a sudden God was dealing with him to teach, and he thought, how boring teaching. And he said, all of a sudden, as he was praying, he said he literally was walking across his study one day, and all of a sudden the Lord dropped that teaching gift in him, and he said, I know it. He said out loud, I can teach now. And he can. Great teacher of the Word of God. And you realize that spiritual things are like that. He counts you faithful, and then one day you wake up and you're enabled. And you know it's not you, you know it's him. You go, wow, this is really cool. I couldn't do this yesterday, but I can today. And it's not because I read 3 chapters of the Bible. Nothing I did. He just enabled me. He counts you faithful, and then he'll enable you. Enable you again, whatever that means. Could be to start that business or enable you to go into a relationship because you know you're ready, you're equipped to do things. But there is a harvest time. There's a time when he is going to begin to show you those things he's called you to do and enable you. He'll give you the ability to do it. I love these couple proverbs here. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Amplified, the plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. NIV, to man belong the paths of the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. In other words, we kind of do our calculating, we run the math, but ultimately God has the answer, all right? My math might be to do, you know, according to my calculations and according to the trajectory of my current spiritual growth, I should be here by then. Well, maybe, we'll see. You know, here's another proverb kind of along the lines, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Okay, we're talking about harvest time. In other words, there may be a deferment, but then there is a time when the dream is going to be fulfilled, when you're going to walk it out. I've shared the story, and you know, as Julie and I have kind of walked out this call, and we graduated Rhema in 92. We faithfully served at a church for almost, I guess, 10 years. And it was actually Julie's uncle who one day we were just kind of fellowshipping, and he said, so what about this, Ed? You and Julie are going to start a church someday? And I go, yeah, someday we're going to start a church. And he just looked me right in the eye and said, well, maybe now is the time. And when he said that, he didn't know he didn't realize how he was being used by God to say that. God prompted him to say that. Just said it out of the blue. And when he said that, it just resonated in my spirit. And after our little conversation, I thought, wow, the Lord just began to continue to speak to me. And he said, Ed, if it was right now, would you be ready? He said, do you have a resume ready? I thought, well, they made us do one at Rhema 10 years ago. And I pulled that one out, and I got it ready. And I went and got my pastoral resources and references and got it all up to date and got it ready and said, okay, I would be ready now. And it was within a week I got an email from Rhema, the school that I graduated from a group here in Door County expressing an interest to start a new work. And it was like, wow, cool, and I'm ready to go. It was just incredible how, and this is kind of one of the things too, when it comes to harvest time, you're trusting, and part of just trusting Jesus, you're trusting that he will alert you and let you know when it's time to step out. And a lot of times there will be some little steps along the way that prepare you. You know, there will be some preparation, some of those warning things. That discussion was such a powerful part of preparing my heart and to realize that now is the time to step out and work. Let me say, though, too, something else. Maybe you're in a season of harvest, and maybe it's exciting to get the go ye to get into harvest, but then you're in the harvest. And in the same way, you develop routine in the preparation time that kind of makes you want to get into the dream stuff. When you get into the harvest time, there's routines of preparation and work that you're doing in the harvest time. All right, you're living the dream, you know, and it's not always going to be glowing and just excitement. There's going to be work in the dream. There's going to be work in the harvest. You got that shop and there's work. You got your dream and there's work to it, but it's okay. It's, you know, where you're called to do, what you're called to do. And it's also in the same way we don't want to get a bad attitude in the preparation time. We don't want to get a bad attitude in the harvest time either. We want to stay fresh, stay appreciative, and realize this is what God has called me to do and to enjoy it. We were, Mona Christensen invited us, Dave and Mona invited us to their house for a missionary. And this guy, he's a Palestinian Christian pastor in Jerusalem. An Arab Israeli. I mean, you look at all his labels, and it's hard to find a friend anywhere with those labels. You know, I mean, certainly the Arabs look at him, you know, as a Zionist Christian, you know, and of course the Jewish community as an Arab Israeli, and even Christians, you know, look at somebody like that a little unsure what that is or what that means. And he was sharing with us about what they do and the fruit of their ministry and how they're going after Muslims and getting them converted and won over to Jesus Christ and just the amazing evangelism outreach they have. And a lot of the other churches, even Jerusalem, don't even have that evangelical. There's a lot of denominational mainline things, but as far as hitting the streets and reaching people for Jesus in Jerusalem, there's not a whole lot of that, even in the Christian community going on. And they're doing it, and they're tearing it up, but there's a lot of pressure on them, a lot of persecution on them. And he said in no uncertain terms, he said, the only thing that keeps me there, now he's a father with three girls, three daughters. He said, the only thing that keeps me there is the call of God on my life. He said, I've got most of my other friends, he's like, I don't know if it was like 45 Bible students, school students, whatever, but 40 of them are gone. They're not anywhere near Jerusalem. They've got a better situation, you know. And what he was saying is, he's saying in the middle of the work, in the middle of the harvest time, he was saying, yeah. He was saying, I know I could do something right now and get a, but this is what God has called me to do. And he said, someday I am going to have rewards and I will enjoy a glory and I will enjoy the glory of what God has and the rewards for the stuff that I'm doing down here. He said, he almost said this in passing. He said, but now it's time to work. I was like, wow. I mean, he just kind of said, but now it's time to work. If you're in this season of harvest, there may be some things that come up. You're right where God has you, and you're dealing with the oppositions and the stuff. You got to remember those words. Now it's time to work. There's time to roll up the sleeves. It's time to get stuff done. It's time to do what God has called you to do. because right now you're bearing fruit. Somebody once put it this way. He said there's three watches. If you can imagine an arm with three wristwatches. The first watch just tells your natural time, right? The second watch is the watch of preparation. Every time you do something, you lay aside the weights and the sins, and you're doing what God has called you to do to prepare yourself, the hands on that clock move, you know? And sometimes we could wait years sometimes before they move because we're stubborn. But every time we do it, one of those hands move. And he says, then there's a third watch, and that's a watch of fruit. Every time you're just doing what God has called you to do, day in and day out doing, that's fruit that you're bearing, whatever it is that he's called you to do. So there's the harvest time. There's that harvest watch where things are beginning to happen and to realize that you're in that harvest season. Man, that is a great place to be. And then the final thing that I just wanted to touch on is appointed times. Preparation times, harvest times, and then there's just those appointed times. Those appointed times could happen in the preparation time or they could happen in the harvest time. These are just like God things that happen. A little mysterious. And that's just what really just keeps our heart stirred toward God's plans. Ephesians 4:15-16 puts it this way, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And New Living, under this direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is one of those things where as you're in the body of Christ, you get connected in the body of Christ, and there are divine appointments of people, places, things, and you can just find yourself in the right place at the right time, and your life is completely changed by something somebody says or something somebody does or a certain relationship that God has as he's ordained you to get to know and to get a fellowship with another person that is going to absolutely bring direction in your life. These are appointed times. We can kind of read about them and, you know, think of it at a high level in Ephesians. It'll say, in the fullness of times, God sent his son. Like, wow. Yeah, there was a time God sent his son. Supernatural, divine appointment. There were other times when Jesus was casting out demons. And the demons said, have you come to torment us before the time? What are they talking about? They're talking about that eternal lake of fire where they're going to experience ultimately an eternal incarceration. Well, no, that really wasn't what Jesus was doing, but he wasn't going to let him live in that guy. He was going to deliver that guy. There are these appointed times. Or Esther, you know, where Mordecai tells her, you know, at the king's decree to kill the Jewish nation, all the Jewish people. You know, Esther, perhaps you were born to come, you were born at such a time to come into the kingdom for such a time. These are like appointed times. In other words, the call of God on your life isn't just about preparation and harvest, but there's things you're going to do that are going to be pivotal in changing things. And you're going to have an influence along those lines. Here's, in Acts chapter 15, here's a story. And this, as it relates to these times, I love this story. And this is, we're just going to take a look at Silas. Because Silas was a New Testament guy. He was, I believe he was a prophet too. But here's a guy and who really demonstrates for us what it looks like for us when the appointed time comes. Because I'm going to just say this. When the appointed time comes and God has something for you to do at an appointed time, the sky is probably not going to light up. There's not going to be any dramatic things that you're going to see with your eyes. It's going to be something subtle, but it's going to be powerful. Now, here we see in Acts chapter 15, it says, then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who is also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. So basically, if you kind of know church history a little bit, they had a big fallout over kind of
some of the tensions of law and grace that we still experience in the church sometimes, what you can and can't do. So they kind of hash that out. Yeah, you're saved by grace through faith. It's not works. So they had a letter with some guidelines. They delivered that letter. These guys all delivered the letter as they were supposed to do. And so when they were done delivering the letter, this is what happened. It says, "Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." Okay. "And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there." Okay. Judas and Silas were both sent back. They were both called, okay, go back. Here's the greetings. Tell so-and-so hi from us. "However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there." Why, Silas? I don't know. Just seems good to stay here. That's all we get. Now, it just so happens, we talked about before, how about Barnabas and Paul having the disagreement over John Mark? Well, right as Silas just decided to stay there, that disagreement was happening. The contention became so sharp, they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So from right after that first missionary journey, you have got Silas and Paul. Silas and Paul. Silas ends up traveling with the great apostle Paul for those other missionary journeys. And if you were to say, "Man, Silas, how did that happen that you got to travel with the apostle Paul?" Well, I just felt like I needed to stay a little extra long. And as it turned out, the next day, the apostle Paul was needing somebody to travel with him. And I went with him, and the rest is history. Those are just divine appointments. They're subtle. It's not lightning flashing. What is it? You're just following these subtle little promptings of the Spirit of God. And this is basically what happens to us Christians. Romans and Colossians are kind of good companion scriptures. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." There is a leading and a witness of the Spirit that will kind of get you to where you need to be. Colossians puts it this way. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." There is a peace. There is a leading. There is a prompting. Within that peace, that leading, that prompting, those appointed times come out. And you find yourself in the right place at the right time because God's just leading you by His Spirit. What time is it? Well, there are going to be preparation times, times that we know that we're in seasons of getting ready for something, all right? As we're in these places of getting ready for something, to realize that this isn't lost time. I'm not wasting time doing what I should be doing in the dream. No, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait and allow God to prepare me and do what I'm supposed to do. It could be college. It could be, you know, just being faithful to another ministry or being faithful in another place of employment, whatever that is, you know, that's going to be the preparation time. At some point, God's going to enable you and you're going to get that witness. Okay, it is time. Separate unto me so-and-so for the work whereunto I've called. And you're going to sense it's time to take that step of faith. And then within those seasons, there will be appointed times where God is going to introduce you to people and situations and connections and opportunities that are going to cause those dreams and those plans that He's prepared you to walk in to come to pass. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus this morning. We just thank You that You do have an amazing plan for our lives. We're Your very workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for those good works You've ordained us to walk in. And I just pray right now, Heavenly Father, as we just look to You this morning, those dreams, those good works, those things You've called us to walk in. Help us by the Holy Spirit to locate some things. Help us to locate regarding what time it is for that dream. Is that a preparation time or is it harvest time? Do I need to be preparing or do I need to be working, doing what You've called me to do? If it's preparing, it's a good time. You're going to equip me for what I need to do. If it's harvest time, then I have the ability. I have the enablement that I need to do what I need to do. And we just thank You, Lord, for those divine appointments along the way. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that today I'm a child of God, Your very workmanship. On the inside of me are good works You've prepared me to walk in. So I prepare myself to walk in those good works, to lay aside weights and sins that beset me. Help me to be sensitive, to grow so I can be used, a vessel that's useful for your purposes. And I will say yes when I get the go ye, when you enable me to do what you've called me to do. And I will keep a heart that is open to those appointed times, people, situations, opportunities that you've put in my path. I will walk in them, Lord, and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. You know, I've just realized, as we kind of talk about life being a patterns and seasons and different things like that, so many times it's good to get a revisit the place you're in spiritually. Maybe it's a preparation time, and it's like, oh, I feel like I've been in this place for a while. But you know what? This is preparation time, and I know that dream is coming. Knowing that you're going to get that go, you might be in that harvest time and realize that, yeah, this is harvest time, and I'm kind of doing the routine of harvest, but yeah, this is why I'm here. Now it's time to work. There is coming a time when the sufferings of this present time aren't even going to be worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in me. But this is my little slice of time, my vapor of life that I have to bring glory to God. Help me to have that attitude adjustment to enjoy and appreciate and be productive during this harvest time. Praise God. So receive that this morning and just let God encourage your spirit, re-energize, refocus, and enjoy where you're at, regardless of what time it is. Amen.